Greetings, this is James Gillen on the BBS Network, and we've got a great show. And a few messages here. We've got a few announcements to come up on the air. We've got Jim Mars coming up as my guest tonight, and he's going to be joining us as a keynote speaker at the ESETI 2016, our annual conference. And we've extended the early bird registration fee until Monday to celebrate this event. And so if you register by Monday, you can save and still be part of the early bird special. So we've also got Ashley continues her weekly teleconference healing series with the Orion Heart Meditation. And that's this Wednesday, May 4th, 5:30 Pacific Standard Time. Skywatch Weekend started ESETI next weekend. Register online and come out and check out what's happening. There's a lot of stuff flying in the sky here, and the mountain's been putting on a show lately, so it's getting pretty interesting. Memorial Day weekend, May 27th to the 29th, I'll be teaching the signature workshop, the Ambassador Training. And it's timed perfectly with what's happening energetically. The workshop is filling up fast, but there's still some spaces left. And I'm delighted to be returning to Contact in the Desert again this year. And this year's Contact in the Desert is taking place June 3rd through the 6th. And I'll be sharing a lot of new information, so be sure and check that. I know Jim will be joining me there as well. Now, for more information on all these events, you can go to the private invitation ESETI.com website, or ESETI.org will also take you there as well. Don't forget to use the coupon code ESETI at the TedWinslow.com for 30% savings on Ted's amazing Solfeggio frequency albums. And again, our thanks to Ted for donating that some of his profits to the getting some new night vision, you know, here at the ranch. But those are the major announcements coming up. We've got Jim Mars as our guest today. We've got he's a multiple award-winning Texas journalist and author of four Times best-selling books. His latest book, Population Control: How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us, was published in June 2015. It describes how the fraudulent claim of overpopulation has been used to reduce humankind by means of deadly food, water, air, pharmaceuticals, and warfare. I like this subject. It's time to wake people up to what's happening here. He's a native of Fort Worth, Texas, and he earned a degree in journalism from the University of North Texas and attended graduate school at Texas Tech in Lubbock. His professional life included roles as a police reporter, a general assignments reporter covering stories locally in Europe and the Middle East, and after a leave of absence to serve with the 4th Army Intelligence Unit during the Vietnam War, Jim became a military and aerospace writer and investigative reporter. For over 30 years, Jim shared his knowledge at the University of Texas at Arlington, first teaching a course on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, and later becoming perhaps the first to teach about UFOs at a college level. In 1989, his book, Crossfire, The Plot That Killed Kennedy, was published to critical acclaim and reached New York Times paperback nonfiction bestseller list, becoming a basis for the Oliver Stone film JFK, on which Mars served as chief consultant for both the film screenplay and production. In May of 1997, Mars' in-depth investigation of UFOs, Alien Agenda, was published and eventually translated into several foreign languages, becoming the top-selling nonfiction UFO book in the world. He's a sought-after speaker at conferences, conscious radio programs, as well as major television networks and mainstream radio shows. And we're delighted that Jim's going to be with us here at the ESETI conference, and it'll be taking place over the July 4th weekend. So I'm pleased to welcome Jim to tonight's show. Jim, are you with us?
I am, James, and it's a pleasure. And I'm really looking forward to the event in July because, as you know, you and I have talked for years now, and I've been wanting to get up there to your ranch, and now it looks like it's going to happen.
Yeah. You know, it's really what's interesting. We have a newsletter at ESETI, and whenever I get a chance, I put out the information on the, you know, the autism and the Nogalese and the thimerosal and all the things in the inoculations and the food, and just I mean, we are just under assault on every level. And I know your book covers that on population control, how corporate owners are killing us. I'm so glad you're putting this book out and doing the research on it, because it's definitely a necessary thing to cover. I think it's one of the first priorities. But
because, yeah. James, I tell you, and you know, I've written a lot of books about a lot of subjects and a lot of interesting stuff. And of course, the Kennedy assassination is always a great mystery. And of course, UFOs are an ongoing phenomenon, something that a lot of people are interested in. And all these are great and interesting topics. But hey, with my book, Population Control, I think this gets beyond politics or philosophies or interesting topics. We're talking self-defense here. If you don't understand what they're doing and start taking steps to avoid that or to ameliorate it, then, you know, you're endangering the life of yourself and the people you love.
I agree 100%. And it's gotten so bad. I'm just still blown away. There are still people out there that just will not look at this. They just turn a blind eye to it and are willing participants in it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, no. Well, I don't know. The only bright side to that is that those folks who are not paying attention and don't seem to care, they probably won't be around very long.
Yeah, they'll be cleaning up the gene pool, I guess, you know, on that one.
But, get rid of that ring around the gene pool.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. I see, you know, I just went to an auction yesterday because we have a van here at the ranch where we pick people up at the airport and everything. The engine blew up on it, so I go, well, it's time for a new car, and went to this auction. And, I mean, I was looking around at this auction and seeing the total separation going on between, you know, those are getting it and those who aren't, you know, that the two worlds. And it was just amazing observing that.
I heard a pretty good plan the other day. They said, let the men who want to marry men do so. Let the women who want to marry women do so. Let the women who want to abort their unborn children, let them do so. And after about three generations, there'll be no more Democrats.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah.
Although I hate to get into the politics of it, because as you and I both know, James, there is no two-party system. There's only the one party. You've got the somewhat liberal Democratic wing, and then you've got somewhat conservative Republican wing, but they're both just wings of the same party, the war party.
Yeah, this woman told me, she said, you know, the upcoming election, she said, is a pretty good excuse for abortion, but, you know.
That's true, too. Well, hey, I had somebody ask me the other day, said, you know, what do you think about the election? And I just asked him, I said, well, look, do you watch the World Federation of Wrestling? And they said, no, it's fixed. I said, well, there you go. Same thing.
Yeah, there's a woman that young girl on YouTube, and she put a YouTube out called Hillary Pay Attention. I don't know if you've seen that, but she's a young girl, and boy, she just goes into a rant and just lets her have it and calls her on all of her stuff and everything. And I just go, yeah, there's hope. There's hope yet, you know, with the youth are figuring this thing out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. A lot of them are overcoming that public conditioning that we lay on these poor kids with our public education system. Public education is a two-edged sword. On the one hand, it's really great that I can remember when I was a little big kid in the 40s that occasionally I would run across a grown person who basically was illiterate, could not read or write, and they'd sign their name with an X or something like that. So it's really good that we now have a system where even the poorest, most backward people in the whole country can get a basic education. But then on the other hand, we're also conditioning kids to function as little automatons in society. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen so many bright, young preschool kids that are just energetic and bright-eyed and questioning, and then they go to school. And then after a while, they come home from school, and you say, hey, what'd you do in school today? Nothing. You know, and they just all of a sudden the light is going out of, is dimming in their eyes, because they just sit there. You have to raise your hand. They're teaching them how to stand. Little kids have to put your hand on the shoulder and march in line to the lunchroom, and they're just teaching them to be good little inmates.
Yeah, pretty much. I know these kids are, a lot of these kids are huge spirits and little bodies, and so they've got a lot of energy.
Right.
And they're not given anything to, you know, to expend that energy or something that really interests them. So rather than, you know, work with them and really take care of their needs, they actually dumb them down and discipline them and riddle them and drug them, you know. It's just like...
Yeah, unfortunately, that's very true. And I just feel very fortunate that I'm old enough. When I was in grade school, I was already an avid reader. And by like the fifth and sixth grade, I had already read all the major books, you know, considered classics like Ivanhoe, Tale of Two Cities, Dickens, you know, Rudyard Kipling. I'd read all that stuff. And so when we do a group read in class, I was usually two chapters ahead, so I'd get bored and I'd start looking out the window. And then back then, the teacher would just come by and slap me on the wrist and say, "Jimmy, stay with the rest of the class." And I'd go, "Yes, ma'am," and I'd go back to reading wherever they were. Okay, today they'd send me to the school nurse who's been trained and conditioned to send me to the school psychologist who would say, "Well, he has attention deficit disorder." And then they'd put me on Ritalin or Prozac or one of those psychotropic drugs.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's so sad. And then now, you know, they've got what I found out, these drugs actually make people totally susceptible to mind control. And I've noticed, I know you've written about that, but have you seen the correlation between these shootings and the Ritalin and the other drugs that they're on, the psychotropics?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And military families that they seem to be programmed at an early stage.
Right. This is something that's just a huge problem and is not being addressed. And the reason for that is pretty simple. The problem is not guns in schools, okay? I grew up in Texas. We had guns. I remember taking guns to school. You know, hey, look at my new .22. Big guys had rifles in the back of their pickups. It wasn't any big deal. Nobody shot anybody. The problem is the drugs, okay? Because these drugs that you're talking about, I mean, it'll say right there on the contraindications that it promotes suicidal and homicidal tendencies, okay? But yet the major media cannot and will not talk about the drugs because the drug pharmaceutical corporations are among their largest advertisers. So all they can talk about is guns. You know, it's really just, you know, completely backwards and not dealing with the problem. And you're right about the military. Most people don't realize it, but over the past few years, the single largest cause of death in the U.S. military is not from wars, but from suicide. And that's because they've all been drugged out and put on those psychotropic drugs.
I agree. And, you know, that's sad, too. I know another thing that sads me. I know you've written about that. It's a whole different subject. But having, you know, a lot of these whistleblowers on the show, and they talk about how we have the technology, the healing technology, to actually rebuild limbs and arms and just phenomenal technology. But, you know, we're not even taking care of our own, you know, as far as the military. And, you know, they're sitting in wheelchairs with artificial limbs and everything else, and it's not even necessary. But, boy, it goes so far, you just don't know where to stop with this craziness.
Well, James, I'll tell you, you know, there's lots of rationales and reasons for what you just said, but I think the basic situation is that the people at the very top who own and control the multinational corporations, and I'm not talking about just officers, presidents or vice presidents or whatever. Mm-hmm. You take these corporate officers, most of them, you know, have, you know, Harvard business degrees. They're probably good people, but they're just administrators. They're there to see that the corporation functions efficiently and that they keep the profit line up, okay? I'm talking about the people who actually own these corporations and actually have the largest voting stock and actually control them, and they tend to fall into the groups of eugenicists. They think we have a problem with overpopulation. You know, these lower classes are interfering with their, you know, their business or their right to have a pristine vacation spot or whatever. So they want to get rid of them, all right? And so they are propagating and allowing all of this to go on. That is because they feel like we need to reduce the population.
Mm-hmm. I know Haiti is a good example of that. I know they definitely harp that place and level it. And I know the Clintons had a huge investment there as far as buying up all the water rights and things like that. And so they, you know, New Orleans, they steered a hurricane into there and blew the dikes and all mm-hmm. these things. And so they just want to create a big Disneyland with their casinos and multiple partners and all that stuff. And other people sitting there in their way.
Speaking of water, I think you may have noticed a few years ago that there was a little news item that the Bush family had purchased about 300,000 acres in Paraguay. All right, and it's like, mm-hmm. wonder what that's all about. Well, they come to find out their property in Paraguay just fortuitously sits atop the Guarani water table, this pure, good water. So, see, the big corporations and some of the wealthy people are getting total control over the water supplies. I think this is what is behind one of the latest scandals and controversies over fracking, hydraulic fracturing. There is no need for gas and oil. Look at the gas prices are down. Gas is abundant. We don't need any more, and yet they're continuing with these fracking operations, which basically are ruining the water table, so that we're going to be forced, more and more people are being forced to buy bottled water at the grocery store, which, by the way, if you look at it from a gallon standpoint, a gallon of water today costs you more than a gallon of gasoline. And it's really amazing, because when I was a kid, I worked in a grocery store, and if you'd come in there and ask me then, say back in the 50s and 60s, said, where's the water? I would have pointed you to the drinking fountain. Mm-hmm. You know, there was, and then all of a sudden you get bottled water, and now they're making it to where you're probably not going to have water unless you buy it from one of the corporations.
Yeah, I noticed too is that they're putting fluoride and other things in the bottled water now, and people
right.
think, yeah, they're getting pure Crystal Springs water or whatever. And I know some, I won't mention their name, but a major corporation has a water out there that when they actually tested it, it was just tap water, and they're selling
yeah.
it as this pure Crystal Spring water or whatever else. And
well, it's easier to hire an artist to do a real pretty label with beautiful clear water on it than it is to actually filtrate that water.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the water I'm known, they have, 600 to 850 carcinogens in it. And, now you've got the lead and the flint, and now flint is just the tip of the iceberg. They're finding out, lead's in a lot of the water supplies and as well as other things. So it's just never ending as far as the water.
Yeah, the Flint, Michigan thing is really bothering me. I mean, it's bad enough that they allowed all this lead contaminated water to go to those poor people without even telling them. And even after it came knowledge that that's what was happening. But now, if you notice, the head guy of the water department is suddenly, he dies, and the woman who was leading the suit is killed and murdered. And it's like, wait a minute, so apparently we have not only an out-of-control criminal government, but they will even go to the lengths of murdering people to try to keep their positions.
Yeah, that seems to be the ongoing thing, and on
every level.
I
know it happened in the Kennedy assassination, and also after 9/11. A number of people who probably could have been real good prosecution witnesses in both those cases just suddenly turned up dead.
Oh, yeah. And that seems to be the status quo now. It seems like before, ever since Kennedy, they pulled that one off, and now it's the status quo. If you have too much heat coming from somebody, you just have your special group go out there and take care of business. And I know they're doing it with the doctors now that found, they found out they're putting Nogales in the inoculations, which is
yes.
totally destroys your immune system. You can't fight cancer anymore. And so now all these doctors, they also found the cure to cancer by checking this out. And now these guys are just being offed right and left. And I've not seen anybody connecting the dots.
No. No, but that's because, see, now you're getting to my real gripe, because as a schooled and experienced journalist, I'm here to tell you there is no journalism in this country anymore. You know, on TV, all you have are talking heads, and they go for whoever's the prettiest or the most ethnically diverse, and they may be good people, but all they do is just read their script. And then in the newspapers, as I have experienced it myself, the people who want to try to tell the truth and who are willing to get out and really work to dig and find the truth, they don't last very long because the corporate system is not set up to reward people with initiative and intelligence and a true investigative spirit.
Yeah, it's basically set up to assassinate them if they get too close to somebody, too far up the ladder.
That's right. If you're lucky, you just lose your job.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, if you're unlucky, you lose your job, your family, and everybody. I mean, I've seen instances where they came in and just killed the whole family. Mm-hmm. And then you get this really ridiculous investigation. Oh, it was a multiple suicide. You know, the dog shot himself and then shot everybody else.
Right.
That's what their conclusion is, you know.
Yeah.
Come on, you know, like, give me a freaking break, you know.
So. Yeah, there was a agriculture official here in Texas that was investigating Lyndon Johnson. And Johnson, according to Billy Saul Estes, who was at the meeting, says, well, get rid of him. And the next thing we know, Henry Marshall ends up dead on his farm in Central Texas with he's shot 4 or 5 times in the chest, and near his body is a bolt action single shot 22 rifle, and they ruled it a suicide.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to figure out how do you shoot yourself multiple times in the head? They have this happen over and over again,
right?
And you know, usually with a pretty, you know, high caliber pistol, like, or like a 38 or something like that, and you know, one shot and that gun is probably go flying out of your hand. And
that's exactly right. As a police reporter for about 15 years, I covered more than my fair share of suicides, and I guarantee you, when you use a handgun and you shoot yourself in the head, the reaction, the recoil of the weapon and the reaction, spasmodic reaction of the body, that gun is always laying across the room somewhere. And that's why people need to realize when Vince Foster was found dead, he's lying in this park with his hands folded over his chest and the pistol still in his hand. It cannot happen.
Yeah. And then they found no blood, no brains, nothing, you know, at the event. And,
right.
You know, head wounds, any kind of a head wound, you know.
Well, that's because obviously he'd been moved there.
Yeah, they bleed profusely. So, yeah, my feeling is that, you know, they have the definition of Armageddon, you know, which means the great uncovering. And what I'm seeing is everywhere, all of this dirty laundry and the killings and everything is all surfacing, and there's some people running for office now that it's all coming up, and people are standing up and confronting them now, you know.
Yeah.
And whereas it's finally a good thing, it's finally, not only is the information out there and it's being spread all over the internet, and the work that you're doing is bringing this information out as well, but I've seen a lot of people and a lot of, you know, ex-Marines and things like that, that are just saying, hey, wait a second, you know, I'm, and they're challenging them. Wherever they go to do their lectures or their talks now, they're not getting away with it anymore.
I know it. That's great. But then also that brings on danger, because it's just like when you corner a skunk or a fox or a wolf, and if they get cornered, they get really vicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I'm telling you right now, we better prepare ourselves for another false flag attack.
Yeah, there has to be a diversion so they can pull this, so they can install whoever they want in there again, because that's probably the only way they're going to do it.
Yes.
But this whole agenda playing out, it seems to me so obvious, you know, the New World Order program and the, you know, Agenda 21 and the population control and all that. I mean, I've been in the middle of it here with my ranch. They tried to run me off the ranch here and stop me doing any kind of the work I'm doing. And that was like 10 court cases later, I finally got out from under it. But just unbelievable the nonsense that's going on there. And all of it is in total violation with, you know, the Constitution, any rights that we have, and you know, I can go on and I'm talking about the real Constitution, not the not the fake one they created later.
Yeah,
but,
right.
Yeah. What is it? There's one that says for the people, I believe it's the original Constitution, and then they have the one of the people that they installed later. That that's how you can tell the difference between the two different constitutions.
That's but, true.
And, yeah.
But see, there's a lot of stuff going on. The people that are into the Nacera movement and people who are constitutionalists and the sovereign citizen movement, not like that. The thing is, it's kind of like the old Confederacy. You know, legally, technically, ethically, they're right. But power is what government is all about. Government is just power. And so it's might makes right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's old saying that, you know, the golden rule is he who owns the gold makes the rules. And they
exactly.
They can afford the brute squads to make sure their rules are enforced. And unfortunately, that's what we're under right now.
That's exactly right. Because government is, by necessity and by sheer definition, is just power, strength. You know, it's... well, if you stop and think about it, there is no law in this country that if you violate continually, that eventually they will come to you and say, you got to stop. And if that doesn't work, they bring in a federal marshal. If it doesn't work, they'll bring in troops because government is enforcement at the end of a gun. So that's interesting that government requires firearms to exert its power, and yet the people, we're told, we don't need any guns. See, we can't have that because all we do is kill each other. You know, we can't enforce our power by owning firearms.
You know, I was looking at this thing in the Bible, and not to go in biblical, but you look at how many people God killed in the Bible or was responsible for killing. You know, versus the devil, and you go. Wait a second, what's wrong with this picture? And sometimes I think a lot of this program goes all the way back to old biblical things, where you know the jealous, wrathful God. You know, and you have a right to kill those who don't agree with you or those who are not on. You know, operating
you have an obligation to kill people that don't believe the way you do. And of course, that's still very prevalent in the. In Islam, of course, you know, despite all of their protestations, it's very clear from the Quran that, kill the infidels. I mean, that's just what it is. And people don't realize this, and they don't realize that the Crusades, which indeed were very brutal, but they don't realize that that was not just the Europeans going, let's go attack those poor, peaceful Muslims in the Middle East. That was a reaction to the warfare and the genocides and the invasions of the Muslims into Europe.
And it goes back and forth. It seems like they have a program. You know, this all goes back to the Anunnaki. You know, the bearded
That's
gods
right.
and the images that. You know, I always tell people if your book, whatever it is, or your image of God is a bearded God, you know, it's a male, you know, you're going back to the Anunnaki.
That's exactly right. In fact, I'm finding this true right now because I'm working on a new book about the Illuminati. The Illuminati, the Bavarian Illuminati that is historical fact, was actually nothing more than a culmination of the esoteric occult practices that can be traced all the way back past Babylon to the Anunnaki. So that's an integral part of what has caused all the problems in the world, and yet think how many people just don't even know about that and don't care to know about that. They don't want to know about that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I just got back from Australia, and I connected with some of the elders there, the Aboriginal elders, and one was Ulukai Brendan Murray. And some other ones, and we really hit it off and really connected. And they showed me some things that they ordinarily don't show people and shared with me a lot of information about, you know, the Aboriginals. You know, they're the original people.
Right.
And that's why they're Aboriginal, you know, that's where the name comes from. But they showed me these glyphs over there. And I mean, I put my hands on them and looked at them, and they showed me they had Egyptologists come out and decipher them. And what happened is the top glyphs were actually Palladian, and they talked about how the ships came. And I think the glyphs were talking about an earlier story about the Palladian ancestors who came here, which were ancient Lyrians, which are known as the Anunnaki. And it's bigger than just the Nibiru and things like that. They were colonized all over throughout the multiverse, basically. But what happened is that the story tells about how they took their genes and added them to the I always say it wrong, the Denison man or something. I can't remember. I have to write that down. But it's like a Neanderthal man, but they added their genetics to him, jumped him up, and it tells the whole story. And it tells how another glyph talks about how when they first came here, the Palladians, when they first came here, they cut a deal with some reptilians that were already here. And they broke the deal when they lowered their shields, you know, and dropped their ship down. They shot them out of the sky. So they were like abandoned here for quite a while. They were stuck here. And then it tells other stories about how the Egyptians returned to pharaohs to regain the knowledge, and that they lost the knowledge. And so they tried to steal the knowledge and take it back to Egypt. And one of them was bit by a snake and died, a poisonous snake. And the other one died in the shipwrecked. But I mean, all these stories are on there, and what happens is that all these date back to Australia being the real beginning of man as we know it, and the tinkering went on there first, and then after that it went to Africa, because the gold that they found in the Egyptian gold, actually in, you know, the pharaoh's gold and all that stuff that they're working with, actually came from Ballarat, which came from Australia, and there's very old mines there. They're even older than the African mines. So it's we're going to rewrite history on this one. It's going to get real interesting.
That's true, and it needs to be rewritten, because and in researching for my book, Our Occulted History, which means our hidden history,
yeah,
everything you said matches in with that. And in fact, to me, I feel like that, you know, we hear tales of Atlantis, but I don't think Atlantis was one, and the reason, you know, we have all the experts arguing with each other. One says it's Antarctica before a pole shift. Another says it was an island in the Atlantic. And another says it was in the South China Sea. Another one says it's Santorini or Crete. I think it's the blind men and the elephant. They're all right. I think at one point there was a worldwide civilization, and they utilized pyramids as drawing energy from the earth and then transmitting it, because you have these pyramids in Egypt, in Bosnia, in China,
Mexico,
Java, you know, South and Central America, all over. And I think, but then something happened. There was either a cataclysmic geophysical event, like a, you know, earthquake, floods, you know, all kinds of things, and or warfare. I'm convinced there was atomic warfare in the distant past, because there are portions of the Sinai Desert and portions of the Indus Valley over in India that clearly show higher than normal background radiation levels. So I think that, and of course, then you have the stories of big whole cities like Sodom and Gomorrah that just go up in a cloud of smoke with a great pillar of fire. Sounds like an atomic bomb to me.
Yeah, and they also have green glass, that just layers and layers of this glass.
Yes.
That with extreme heat had to create this glass, and so it would be totally fit into an atomic bomb going off, you know, over that area, or a meteor, you know, could have been a meteor that did the extreme, but it. If you go back to the
If it was a meteor, I think we'd have legends and stories of the fire coming from the sky, something like that, okay? But no, instead what we have, not only in the ancient Sumerian text, but even in the Old Testament of the Bible, are these constant wars between men and between kings and between kingdoms, the reality of which we really don't know much about.
Well, it sounds like the weapons they used, they talked about missiles and, you know, heat-seeking missiles, sound-seeking missiles that came from the craft, and they talked about some of the weapons they used that just seared the flesh off of elephants and destroyed whole jungles and things like that. And, you know, that all adds up to some kind of an atomic weapon or something of that nature.
Right. That's exactly right.
What's funny is, as I'm talking to her, I have a piece of that green glass in my hand right now.
Oh, really?
But I'll show it to you when you come up here for the conference. It's pretty interesting. But, you know, this whole thing about the really ancient stories, that, from what I understand, you know, this Australian information fits totally into it. And this was before all the continents broke up and it was the Pangaea thing, you know, where they all separated and moved out.
Uh-huh.
So what also I found out is the genome experiment shows the Aboriginal gene are the oldest genes on the planet, and we all have Aboriginal genes in our bodies when they test the you know, people around here. So my theory
But we also have the reptilian cells in our brains, you know. So I think we're a mongrel race, you know.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. I think I was told that there was 12 major star nations that were involved in terraforming here. And we have the plant, animal, and human genetics from all of these different systems. And then there's been a lot of tinkering since then. And, you know, and then I read this one story about Marduk, how he actually aligned with the reptilians. And he wanted to be the total sovereign lord over the earth, even against his own people. And opened the door to an alliance there. So, you know, it seems like we're still dealing to this day with that mess.
That's true, because at the top of the economic food chain, quite obviously, for anybody that's done their homework, is the Rothschild family. And interestingly enough, the Rothschild family claims that they are the descendants of Nimrod, the ancient Sumerian Anunnaki god king. So, yeah, I think we're still dealing with the results of that alien infusion way back in our dim history.
Yeah. You know, the Bush family, they call themselves the sons of Marduk. You know? So
they
what does
know.
That tell you?
See, this is the thing, James. This is what kills me. You try to talk to the average person about that, and they roll their eyes and they go, whoa, that's just a conspiracy theory, when that's just nuts, you know? I don't believe that. And, well, you know, it doesn't matter whether they believe it or not. The fact is, these people who are trying to rule us, they do believe it.
Yeah. And, you know, Marduk is on the dinar over there. He's on the dinar. And then when they said they called themselves the sons of Marduk, I went, bing, the light went on. I go, okay, now this is all making sense. And, you know, as you're saying, you know, my theory is that as you go up this ladder of power and wealth, it just gets blacker and blacker, and then you get into ritual, and then you get into demonic reptilian type energies, unseen energies that people aren't aware of. And you can't take most people that far, but all I have to say is that look at what's happening on the planet. It's totally inhuman. It's
that's
not
exactly
it's
right
not,
that's why in my book Our Cultured History I kind of raised the question, which I think is legitimate to be asked today, which is these people who are trying to wreck the planet, terraform the planet, kill us, are they even us? And I suspect not.
Yeah, because it doesn't, I mean, for them, for these inoculations, you know, to fill these babies up with all these shots, you know, they showed a doll with all the different shots that a kid gets by the age of 9 or something like that. And this little baby looked like a pincushion, you know, it's like unbelievable. And to do that to a baby and to poison the water like they're doing in the GMOs and, you know, putting aspartame, and I can just go on and on, you know, with all the things that they're doing, that you're just not human when you do that stuff. I mean, it's just obvious. It's like to do something like that, you've lost all of your humanity, and something else is pulling your chain, or, you know, you're just a puppet for something else.
Right. Exactly.
And that's the only thing that makes sense to me. It's like, you know, like the chemtrails, you go into that. Well, why would they do that? You know, why would they do that to their own people? And I said, you're not their people.
That's right. That's right.
They have
this also explains how they're able to get humans to work with them. Okay. take Bill Gates, for example. I mean, he's obviously a New World Order guy, and he's pushing for more vaccines. He's pushing for, you know, United Nations hegemony, the whole thing. And so, but yet, as far as I know, he's just a kid that grew up pretty normally and happened to come up with the operating system and made buku money, and now he's, you know, one of the wealthiest guys in the world. But how do you go to one of the wealthiest guys in the world and get them to be on your side? And I suspect that since he can't be bought, what they do to people like that is they say, hey, how would, you know, they offer them their technology. How would you like to live to be 200 and not be sick a day in your life? You know,
yeah.
That would make somebody sit up and take notice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, or they probably offer them, you know, all the women they can, you know.
Yeah.
And then, well, or they even go worse than that, all the little boys or little girls you can have. I mean, it gets really ugly when you go up.
It
you
really
find
does,
out what really
and
goes
unfortunately,
on.
Unfortunately, that's what we're not even supposed to be talking about, and yet that's a major thing there.
Yeah. Yeah, it just gets so dark when you track this and follow it, you know, to the top of the food chain there. It gets so dark and ugly that I think most people just can't handle it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true.
And, you know, I understand that. You know, I understand. You know, I think, you know, there was a time when I was, you know, I look at my evolutionary process. I was raised in a hunting family, you know, and my grandfather was the head of the fish and game department and, you know, and everything else. And then later on, I just kind of evolved out of that. I had really, it wasn't hunting anymore, it was like murder, because I just didn't miss, and
right.
I said I can't do this anymore, you know, I just can't be a part of this anymore. And I evolved out of that, and I looked at all the different changes in my own evolutionary pattern and breaking the old programs. And not that hunting's bad, I think if it's done with respect, you know, in a Native American way, I think there's nothing wrong with it. But the just the way that things are done and what things have evolved to and things like that, I can understand how your environment, you know, plays a huge role in your thought process and your belief system and everything else. But eventually you got to break that. You got to break out of that old program and start thinking for yourself and kind of align yourself with universal law.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah. And that's interesting, because I've gone through that same process. I mean, I was brought up in Texas. I used to go quail hunting and deer hunting and wild hog hunting and everything else. But in recent years, it's like, wait a minute, I can go to the store and buy my food. Why do I need to be killing these animals, you know? So I've kind of gotten off that too. But I'm also with you in that hunting per se is not necessarily bad or evil. In fact, I'll bet you anything, most people, especially people listening to this program, if you get hungry enough, you'd probably go hunting, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's I've always felt like balance, you know, just keep it in balance. And I found out in my own life, I eat less meat now, and I mean, trying to eat more vegetables and other things, just because that's what my body's requiring, and the energies that are coming in now are kind of pushing that. But anyway, I always tell people, you got to listen to your body, whatever it's telling you, you need. I know a lot of people that are so ungrounded, and they're actually sick and ill, and they actually probably should be eating a little meat.
Yeah, it's true. I have a friend who for years was trying to be a strict vegetarian, and she said it almost killed her.
yeah, I did that too. I went that route, and it didn't. I know I'm going to get hate mail from the veggie Nazis, you know, for talking about this, but
that's true.
You know, the Dalai Lama eats meat, you know, like a lot of Tibetans eat meat. So Native Americans eat meat, you know, we can't get into judgment on these things. And there's some very awakened spiritual people out there that still partake in a little meat.
Yeah. Well, I think my wife got the key to it. She told me years ago, she said, moderation in all things.
Exactly.
You know, all things, if you do it in moderation, you're probably okay. The problem is that most people are kind of like me. If something tastes good, then let's eat some more of it. And if more of it tastes good, well, you know, then let's eat a ton of it.
Yeah, unless you're molesting little boys or girls, and that's that one.
Yeah,
you
that now you're off into a whole different thing there. We don't
stay away
do
from
that.
That program.
Exactly, but you know, see, and but you and I both know that that's very prevalent at the upper levels of the rulership on this planet, mm-hmm. and it's something that should be addressed. And if it was known to the general population, I guarantee you there would be some lynchings.
Yeah, it is coming out. There are a lot of people that are bringing this out, and then they end up being taken down. And what's sad is there's so much in-house fighting. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it, you know, the in-house fighting, even with the UFO community, they eat their young, you know, and so much competition and fighting, and they're trying to take each other down. And I go, you know what, you don't have to worry about the men in black or the Illuminati or anything else. You're taking yourself out. You know, it's like, we're not perfect. None of us are, you know, but we all have the same goals, and let's just focus on that and not get derailed, you know, by nonsense, you know, little stuff like relationship things and things like that. This should be people's own private business.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, there's a fine point, a dividing line between things you can do that only affect yourself, in mm-hmm. which case you should have total freedom to do whatever. And then, of course, you got the dividing line, and then you got stuff that affects other people. If it affects other people, then you need to be respectful, you need to be considerate, and, you need to think about what you're doing.
Exactly. You know, it's like, my thing is I always try to hold the highest intentions and try to do things that are highest and best good for all concerned. But, you know, in the human experience, it just, no matter what, it just doesn't work out sometimes. And because you've got, you know, the human ego and desires and programs and when those things aren't met, you know, a lot of people come unglued. But, you know, that's just part of the human experience. But I think it'd be nice if we all focused, you know, on the big problem, you know, what's really going on, and the actions that are totally outside of universal law, and especially when it comes down to what's being done to children and what's being done to nature and things, you know, our food supply and things like that. We really need to rally around, you know, what's really going on.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. That's why I don't understand it. To me, it's all real simple. See, we need to all just agree to disagree. But we don't have to do it disagreeably, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. go ahead.
I get into debates with people all the time. I'm sure you and I would not agree on every little single thing, but we can have a decent, you know, conversation, and without getting into name calling or fist fighting or anything uh-huh. else. I mean, you know, that's just, you can disagree without being disagreeable.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's, I've been following your work for quite a while now, and I don't think I haven't really seen anything I disagree with so far.
Well, you know, that's the same thing, and I could name a lot of other people too, like Joseph P. Farrell and Richard Dolan and Linda Moulton Howe and a lot of other people that I've known, and we all tend to follow that in the same ideas, and that's not because we follow any particular person, but because we all, yourself included, have followed the evidence. The evidence is just there if you'll stop and look at it.
Exactly. You know, I always tell people, you know, people ask me what religion is, you know, what religion I am or what
right.
faith I am and things like that, and I just said, well, I don't believe in separation, you know, but I think if you wanted to turn me into a religion, I'd probably say, you know, truth, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to know the truth. That's it, you know, and I know everybody has their truth and everybody's creating the realities from their truth, but, you know, I want to really dig in and find out what really happened and how we got into the mess we're into right now, and then in that way we can find solutions on how to get out of it.
Uh-huh, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because, see, I try to tell them when I talk to average people, they go, UFOs, do you believe in UFOs? And I try to tell them, look, if you don't study UFOs, if you don't understand the place UFOs play in the ongoing history of the world, I said, you can be the most brilliant person ever, but you're never going to make a correct decision because you are operating on incomplete and or erroneous information.
Exactly. And it goes back. I mean, you look at this stuff. I mean, we know it goes back at least 450,000 years, but according to Cremo and his work, we're looking at 650 million years, that advanced people have been on the planet and coming and going, so it's such an old, if you do the history and I notice too, is like the teachings, even we practice Yigong here and some very, very ancient energetic teachings. When you follow them back throughout history, you'll see they go back to Tibet and then China, and then from there they go back to Egypt, and then they go back to the fabled Atlantis and Lemuria, and then from there it goes back to the stars, So everything
Exactly.
I've
That's where
seen,
it all
almost
goes.
everything goes back to the stars.
Exactly.
All of
And
it, and
if you don't understand that, see, you'll never be able to make an adequate decision on anything.
yeah, I agree. It's funny because, you look at the turmoil we're under, where everything goes back to the stars. Some of the really good stuff that happened here goes back to the stars. I mean, a lot of the prophets that walked the earth, their genetics were totally connected to, the Pleiades or the Orion Council of Light or Arcturus or something like that. And even in
Right.
the Bible, they talk about the sons of Arcturus and the sweet energies of the Pleiades, and people don't know what they're talking about when they're referring to this.
Right. That's true. That's true.
Yeah, so
Pretty
it's interesting.
amazing.
Yeah, it all goes back. We're coming up close to the end of the hour. We've got about 5 more minutes. I wanted to make sure that we if there's anything you want to announce on, I know you've got your books coming up. What's the best way to get in touch with you as far as getting, the information you put out in your books and other events that you're going to be speaking?
Well, in addition to your conference there in around July the 4th, I'm going to be at Contact in the Desert, which is I think May 30th, June 1st, out at Joshua Tree, California. And that's always been a big deal, and I think this year it's even going to be bigger than ever. And they've got a real stellar lineup of speakers, maybe 25 or more. It's a big deal. But as far as getting my material, it's easy enough. Number one, my books are all available on Amazon or at any bookstore. And if your local bookstore doesn't have a copy, I'm sure they can get one within a day or two. So all you have to do is just ask for Jim Mars's books. And then, of course, go to jimmars.com, my website, which is, interestingly enough, jimmars.com. And go there, and also not only will you see, I have DVDs, I have books that go back for some years that can, in fact, I had a national radio host not long back say, if you'll read all of Jim Mars's books, you'll have the equivalent of a college education. And I kind of thought, what? But then I thought, actually, there may be some truth to that. If you go back and start with the Kennedy assassination, which opens up the whole idea of conspiracy and government cover-up, and then you go to my 9/11 book, and then you go to my UFO book, Alien Agenda, and then you go to the follow-on to that, which is Our Occulted History, and then you go to Psi-Spies about the U.S. military's remote viewing program in which they encountered aliens and UFOs. And anyway, and then come on up to the $1 trillion conspiracy and then population control. You will have a really pretty broad education, and I think you'll be able to, as you've done, James, kind of put the whole idea of what's going on in the world into a understandable context.
Well, I mean, the research you've done is just phenomenal, and it does. It puts all the pieces together, and I highly recommend all the books that you've written, and I've always done so. I want to put kudos out to you on I know the work you've been doing. I mean, you ever wonder why we're still alive? It's like there's got to be some major protection or something, because I don't know about you, but I've been shot at and have my brakes line cut, and I can go on and on,
the same thing's happened to me. I came out of the mountains of New Mexico one time and got on to West Texas, and all of a sudden my whole brake assembly fell out, and they said there was evidence of tool work on it. So, you know, who knows? You never know.
Yeah, lug nuts. They take your lug nuts off, and they always take the ones off on the left side. So when your tire comes off, it's going to pull you into oncoming traffic. You know, that's one of their famous little tricks. But,
right.
You know, I have to admit, you know, I can't thank you enough for hanging in there and bringing this information out. It's definitely necessary. And I think in the end here, we're all going to be victorious just because I know, you know, the big picture, what's happening on the other levels. And I think you've had an extreme part in that in getting this information out and to the people, because, you know, without this information, people need to be given a choice and they need to be educated. And once they're educated and they're given a choice, then the higher dimensional beings can come in and help out, you know, and assist. But, you know, we have to do our part down here, and we have to get educated. And as we're going forward, the help, you know, the old saying, God helps those who help themselves. But,
right.
You know, can't expect these disempowerment programs where some external forces are going to come fix everything,
No.
happen. You know, we've got to clean up our own messes.
That's exactly right. And I think that's one reason. Do you agree? I think we are quarantined right now on this planet. I think, you know, we had 6 missions to the moon, supposedly. And then we had 22 of those Atlas rockets ready to go for more missions. And I remember before we went to the moon, the big talk was we were going to colonize the moon. We were going to put bases up there. We were going to mine the moon for minerals, and it was going to pay for the space program. And then we're told, well, we went there, and there wasn't much there, and, you know, it's pretty expensive, so we just won't go back. And so we've never been back since the 70s. Now,
yeah.
Wait a minute. That's, to me, that's like saying, well, we just built this Rolls Royce, but we can't afford any gasoline, so we can't go anywhere in it. You know, that it just doesn't make sense. I think we've been quarantined. I think somewhere somebody got the word, hey, you keep your warfare and your ethnic cleansing and your nuclear weapons to yourself. You're not bringing them out here in space.
I agree. Yeah,
you agree?
And you know, that has come out, you know, in both they slipped out some of the talk, you know, while they're there on the moon, where they did run into some massive ships, and some of the other astronauts are starting to slip out a lot of this information. So, yeah, I agree with you totally. They're probably saying, you know, get your act together. Don't export your war and your greed and your nonsense into space. But I think that we're about ready to go through a total shift, and that's all going to be lifted. But anyway,
right.
Are you still with us here?
I am.
Yeah, I lost you. You're fading out there. But anyway, we've got to sign off. Unfortunately, I'm out of time. I got to get you back on the show because I know we could probably go for 3 or 4 hours, you know.
That's true.
Cover all this.
Well, I'll look forward to seeing you up there at the ranch on July 4th.
Great. And I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and keep up the great work you're doing. And I'm sure I'll be seeing you at Contact in the Desert, and I'll see you up here on the July 4th weekend at East Eddy.
All right. Thank you, James.
All right, take care.
Bye.
All right, this is James Gilliland with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network, signing off. Have a great evening.